The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take a Stock. It is Monday, the 16th of October, 2023. It's a bit chilly, isn't it? I've got my jumper on. John is not here today. John's gone to Wales. Nice weather for it, John. Hope he's taking his cashmere and his puffer. By all means, hit that subscribe button if you haven't before. Like and comment. And the question I want to ask today, and I was chatting to my son about this, but he didn't do very well in the trial, football trial. And he got very upset. And I said, listen, it's only a mistake if you don't learn from it. You learn from these things, you know? So I want to bring you around to stocks. I want to know, in the comments, please, what's been your biggest loser? And if you learned a lesson from it, also add that. If not, just add the company and, you know, what kind of thing, you know, have you learned from your losers? So one of my biggest losers, in fact, one of the most recent biggest losers was Gfinity. And of course, the new CEO came in with a good plan, I thought. And I bought the story too much, you know. And I often say now that, I was up on Gfinity quite a bit. And I ended up losing money on it, which is ridiculous, really. It should never happen. You know, if you're way above making decent profit on it, the least you can do is put a stop loss in at that level, just above where you bought. And then it's a risk-free investment, you know? There's no downside because you've covered off the loss, the potential loss. I didn't do that. But what I did do was I believed in the story. And even when the figures, and this is for, you know, revenue-generating companies, even when the figures were coming out and they weren't sort of reflecting the story, I still sort of believed in the story, you know? And so it's hard, of course, with pre-revenue stocks because they're all about story pretty much. And that's why you see this hope, hype, potential, zoom up in the share price, because, you know, the power of imagination is bigger than the reality of, you know, revenue when it has to hit. When companies have had a lot of hype and they have to commercialize, you know, you tend then to see that hope, hype cycle deflate pretty much, or that bubble. So let me know in the comments, what has been your biggest loser and what did you learn from it? Okay. Michael Zay, Polymetal was biggest loser. They decided to bail from FTSE after the shares tanked from the Russian and Ukrainian war. Cool. And any lessons from that, Michael? Let's first of all look at the markets this morning. By the way, it's going to be a bit of a big news week this week on markets. Let's look at the FTSE 100. St. James's Palace have a bit of a bounce after, you know, response to media speculation that they're basically charging too much. Next, that's been a cracking performer of the years. Just acquired a fat face, hasn't it? Just acquired fat face, the company, not the person. Seven Trend, British American, Glencore, Rio Tinto, a couple of miners in there, and oil, of course, and it fallers. Oh, John's favourite, Ocado Group, he'll be gutted there, that's down. Presneo, it's, of course, silver, isn't it? All that stuff. But look at these. All the indices are pretty much up, apart from the AIM All Share. Let's go to that. Look at that. Dwindling near all-time lows. We're now at 770 days since the all-time high in September the 6th, 2021. And literally, it's just basically, if it trips over again, it'll be at the new low. So there we are. But this week, yeah, lots of news coming out on inflation data. So this week, or tomorrow, by the way, we've got employment data, Wednesday, inflation data, CPI, forecast to come in at 6.5%. That's down from 6.7% in August. So hardly a big drop off, at least it's going in the right direction. And on Friday, it's retail sales. Okay, let me just go to the front page of Vox here and see what's trending, what's been written about. So first of all, was Surface Transforms wins largest contract to date from OEM 10. And this is Lauren writing about this here. SCE, of course, a new business contract worth £100 million to supply carbon ceramic brake discs to existing customer described as previously OEM 10. It did fall back a bit this recently, on the chart. Let's look at the chart here. Yeah, you can see that. Just looking at let's take the 50-day moving average off. And you can see there, you know, broken down pretty much through that. When was that? October 21, which is towards the end of... Do you remember that? The bull market. The end of the... Do you remember the bull market, everyone? That's what we'll be saying soon. Do you remember that? It'll come around again, don't worry. It'll come around again, I think, 2024. I think, I honestly, genuinely think we're going to start a bull market in 2024, probably after the first quarter, and we'll be back in the fun again. But you see there, you know, it struggled to get above that 200-day moving average. And even there, you know, it's struggled to get above previous highs. It's broken it and then didn't quite get there and it's come all the way down. But a bit of a jump today. What's the market cap of this company here? And it's 64 million, 100 million. Yeah, it's quite, you know, valuation-wise, it's not cheap. Look at that, revenue increase of 3.3 million. So if you double that and say add some more, 7 million for the year, that's, you know, still some almost nine times sales, and they are loss-making. So cash of 5.4. So it's questionable valuation there, but decent contract they'll add in there. Hopefully that'll help them a bit. Let's have a look. Excite Energy, the oil price crash destroyed it in part to fracking in the US. Okay, that's the biggest losers you've ever had and lesson learned. What was the lesson there, Gregory? Remember, you know, always with commodity plays, you know, the underlying commodity, you know, it's leveraged to that, isn't it? So whichever way it goes, that will, you know, move it in that direction. Michael said, lesson learned, don't invest in companies which can be geopolitically influenced. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I do think there's obviously the fallout from this, the awful things that are happening in the Middle East now, Israel, Palestine. I don't think we've seen the fallout yet from that in some way. I think there's got to be some kind of contagion. And in fact, just looking at, oil and commodities hasn't really done anything. In fact, let me just share the screen with you. Natural gas. I never, ever spread bet. Never. I mean, last time I did it was like great financial crash thing. But I did open up a little bit on this one, and it did CFD. I did do well. I was tripped out now, but I took a little bit of profit there. That was on gas. I just like the chart. I mean, you know, a series of lower highs. And to me, that line there, if it broke that previous high up here, I thought it was a goer, because it's fallen off a cliff since, you know, it rallied for the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But then it fell off a cliff. And so I don't put hardly any money into that. It's just a mess around. But let's look at Brent. It is above 90 now. In fact, you can see that support, that line there. See, previous times, it's hit that sort of $88 level three, four times, and then it broke above that. So lines of support resistance went back down, and now it's back above that, which is quite telling. May it revisit these highs? Who knows? By the way, let me just cover off some comments I had from last week. Hudson, that's from you. I said, this is video is so good, listening to Justin's investing experiences. It's very educational. Yeah, and that's partly why I come up with this subject today, because I think listening to anyone's investing experiences, you know, you can learn vicariously lessons through them, you know. But the harshest lessons are dealt to yourself, aren't they? And you learn from them, you know. And if you don't, you're not going to get any better. And that's why I do love investing. You know, we come into it to sort of make a bit of money. And if you get it wrong, it, you know, hits you in exactly the place you don't want it to hit you, and that's in the pocket. Sheru, the vegan Westie, said, by the way, Watkins Jones went up 6% a day. I did disagree, saying it was a bottom here. I think the downtrend on this. And also talks about India, saying nearly 400 Indian stocks to choose from. 4,000 stocks. Wow. But he says he thinks the Indian market's overvalued there. Could be wrong, but Indian stock market appears to be overvalued compared to other countries. If I'm right, then there's bound to be an Indian stock market correction soon hitting everything, including ETFs. Just my point of view. Okay. That's interesting how you're calling it overvalued in Indian stock shares. Let's just go to the front page again there. I want to see, before I cover some... ITM Power, by the way, expands amid green hydrocarbon. They go into America. Gill Esports, one of the players there, earned $200,000 from top three in Fortnite. My sons play Fortnite now again. They go off it. They say, oh, it's rubbish now. I thought, well, last week you were raving about it. I couldn't get you off it. Now you don't want to play it. I suppose, you know, if you're in gaming, that's a bit odd for them, because it's so fickle. Are the youngsters playing it? Anyway, most followed company, SBDS. I did do a video on those the weekend. I bought some shares in those recently. I think they're a very good play for the advertising market, and advertisers get a better return on their investment. Avacta's there. Let's look at the chart of Avacta. In fact, it's SBDS. It has rallied, and it's trying to break previous highs there. What about Avacta? Rolling over a little bit. Let's have a look. It looks like it may just come down back to that support level. Who knows? I mean, yeah, but it did have a nice pop out and down. But what else is there? There we are. One Disco. Obviously, they've changed the name, hoping you won't remember it as One Disco, but it is One Disco. That's a Serrata. Let's go with something completely different. Teenager, apparently, I just saw, who's this? This is Midrich Group. The director has just bought, you know, 100 grand worth of shares. And in fact, like I said, you can find director buys here on Vox. You just click in there, director dealings, and they're done there. There we are. All right, anything is Midwich is there. Oh, in fact, XP, I quite like this. On a monthly basis, the XP Factory, you know, buy a regular amount of shares, and they're matched. And you can see then how many shares the company owns, which is quite nice to see. Directors always having skin in the game there. Helium One Global. The drilling has restarted on the Tai-3 well. Replacement rig components been sourced and installed. Drilling activities have successfully restarted on Tai-3. There's a lot of people following that, but you know, I think because it took off initially, did very well on the chart when it first came to the market. It shot up with that, but it's been a dismal performance share price wise since. And like I said, touching all time lows. But today, like I said, it's been a rally in that. So nice to see a bit of a rally. Okay, let's check comments here. Let's have a look. Exciper, lesson learned, don't invest in companies here. Boohoo, I bought just after it IPO'd for around 30 pence. Held it all the way up and all the way down. Sold around 50 pence. Are you kidding me? Hudson, you bought Boohoo when it IPO'd. Let's look at the chart there. Oh, that was a killer. I know. And let's have a look at what you could have won. Do you remember Bullseye? If you're old enough to remember that. Let's have a look at what you could have won. Well, after it IPO'd, so where did it hit then? You bought it down here? I'll just show you. Let me share the screen, sorry. So it IPO'd, didn't it, around about 2014, and it came out 30 pence. And you held it? Really? All the way up? All the way up? Let's have a look at that. That would be from 30 pence. What's the thing for that? Can't see the thing. Let me just scroll it down a sec. That'd have been 1,300%. And then you held it all the way down? Ooh, okay. What's your lesson learned from that? I'd like to know that. Lesson learned from having Boohoo at the top to the bottom. Well, at least you're a loyal investor anyway. You just sold now. Boohoo, my biggest domestic loss, will never recover it as I'm 80% down. Not worth selling it, as I've only got 50 quid left in them. Oh, I know. That's not nice. Jeefin and Vasarin, don't buy during pandemic, Roger says there. Yeah, Vasarin. Well, Vasarin was a 10 bag. The thing is, you know, I messed up on Jeefinity. But Vasarin's a 10 bag. And I think even if you know, like I said, I keep saying about this, about trends, you know, and if you can be as disciplined, because we all have rules, but, and even, you know, in that case where you had like, where you double your money or something like that, you know, taking half off, if you double your money, take half off, then that effectively becomes a risk-free trade. I know it's not that easy because if that remaining half still does very well and, it, you know, doubles, trebles, quadruples, whatever, it's still real money. You know, it's still your money. So it's not as easy as saying, oh, just sell half and forget about it. No, wait, you can't forget about it when that other part of the money left in does very, very well. So it starts to, you know, swell your portfolio value. So that is gutting there. So what you done differently there? I mean, because you've held it for a long time, from 2015. I mean, look at that. I mean, this is why I say it's good looking at even if you look at the 200, you don't have to know a lot more charts, but you just configure it to put the 200 moving average on. But let me just, so look at this here. The uptrend was obviously very obvious from that 30 pence you bought. You know, you kept having, let me show you, look at that. Perfect. A series of higher highs going up, series of lower lows. And it was way off, you know, look at the 200-day moving average. Took off, broke that. If you bought it on that, at exactly 30 pence, 2015, 30 pence, it broke the 200-day moving average. And look at that. look at the A between the 200 day and the share price. Okay. And then, oh, this is quite a telling chart formation. There's something called these bat's ears or something. But you can see that previous for a high pretty much here, where at 266, and then it didn't do it second time. It rallied towards it and sold off. I don't know what that was. That was like a 15% drop on that day. And then it broke the 200 moving average. And it hadn't done that for 2 years. So when that happens, when you see a share price going back then, it doesn't do it for 2 years. Maybe, you know, take some off. But it did go in a range. Like I said, sometimes you go in a range. Three states of a chart, uptrend, downtrend, or in a range. And it's sort of in a range there. It didn't break that previous high. Until, when was that? Until pretty much it gapped up again to break it in 2019. But that would be a scary time. Jump in, dash for cash, COVID crash, down to 133, back up. And like you see there, broke down again. And you could say that was a sort of support, £3, and it broke down. That was gutting there for you. But good, you know, first and foremost, your entry is perfect. You exit less so. That's, I mean, how did you get onto that so early? Because that was very good. The entry was very good. I suppose it was the next ASOS, was it? In fact, talking about that, look at the RNSs there, right? Mike Ashley, fair play. He's usually buying both of them. RNS is here. Let's have a look. He just bought, I don't want that, I want all types. He's just bought, and I want on the watch list. There we are. Look at that. Mike Ashley from the Fraser Group says upped his stake in ASOS to 22%. Okay. Then you go to Boohoo, and he's doing the same there, isn't he? I think. Fraser Group, he's up 15% in that. So he's 22% in ASOS, 15% in Boohoo. What kind of games he playing? It's hilarious, that, isn't it? It just looks buying stuff up. Okay, any other sort of comments on that? Amti Power, learn to invest in companies that have low or no debt, strong financials. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. That's when you know, one of the most important lessons you should learn, you know, if a company is pre-revenue or loss-making, how much cash do they have? That's just think of that. Cash is, you know, if they don't have cash, they're going to die. If they can't get access to cash, they're going to die. You know, it is the blood that courses around the body of a company. So always check out the cash. I mean, Amti has gone through that. And especially in this environment, you know, where literally, you know, the equity markets have frozen up to a certain extent. And you know, the reason why new companies come to the market is to raise capital. That's exactly why. But when the capital function, you know, the capital markets aren't functioning properly, then it's a big worry. Yeah, look at that. Amti Power. Oof. IPO'd again. How many companies? This is the way it goes, you see? How many companies IPO at the top of the market in a bull market when equity liquidity is good, money's free-flowing, and it's gone from what, 220? Wow. From £2.60 down to 1p. That's a lot of value destruction there, isn't it? But it tightens the market, tightens it's a natural course of things, isn't it? We're now in a bear market here for a while. And I think, sadly, a lot of companies will have to, you know, go to the wall. But I do believe, you know, very good companies, and if they're good management, they'll survive if they are pre-revenue, and they'll do very well once the bull market starts again. But at the moment, it's almost like a natural cleansing, isn't it, the capital markets? Let's go to the front page here quickly. Paul talks about AssetCo, an undervalued asset manager rising to inflection point, and some big names behind this, and Martin Gilbert, who was executive chair of Aberdeen Asset Management. And they're only, what are they, they're 50 million market cap, I think, AssetCo? Yeah, 54. What's the ticker there? ASTO, up 4% a day. Please, it's worth having a read of that. ASTO, ASTO. Yeah, again, downtrend. The amount of charts we're looking at the moment, it says we are nearing the bottom, not still falling off a cliff. You know, most of them are bottoming out. And you can see this. I mean, I don't think AIM needs to bottom out, but I mean, I don't, you know, we're not seeing this big fall off here. I mean, if you look at AIM, for example, I think maybe I'm wrong. AIM is still looking like it's dropping off a cliff a little bit, but you know, the steep drops here. Yeah, still nowhere near 200 moving average. But come 2024, you wait. That will power ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so you scroll down. Let's look at the news here. Audioboom. Any of you hold Audioboom? Q3 trading update. And they do say here, total revenue for the 9 months of 30 September was 45.8, reflecting the loss of morbid podcasts. We have discussed this before when, you know, you have one sort of, you know, podcast affecting the entire group. It's a bit worrying if it's that big. Strong start of Q4, they say. Anticipated revenue of at least 19 million. The company's highest revenue quarter since Q2 2022, representing year-on-year, return to year-on-year growth on a quarterly basis, which is good to know. Still loss-making, they're saying EBITDA 1.7. Anticipated a return to adjusted EBITDA profit in Q4. Monthly downloads are up by 18%. How much cash they got? When you see a company is making a loss, I always think, how much cash they got? Okay, that's what you think. Let's have a look. Group cash, there we are, of 3 million, 30 September. With a further 1.8 available via an undrawn overdraft. Okay. And Boohoo, like I said, Audioboom, again, massive downtrend. And I think the chairman has been buying all the way down. He must be sitting on it. I don't know what level he acquired shares at in the first place. But again, look at that, the bat's ears. Look at that. Basically double top, you know, where you see a company not quite getting there and thinking, oh, in fact, there was a slightly higher high there. They broke down. And you could say, you know, this maybe would have been support level, this level or a bit higher maybe, or even there. It broke down. 200 moving average there at 14 quid. Did so well, though. A lot of it, though, was talked about, you know, I held this company about here. I give up. They did this, 10 bagged. A lot of it, there was, you know, off the rumours of a takeover bid from Spotify or Amazon or one of these. So it was fueled by rumours. But even so, you know, look at that. Again, it was way above the 200 moving average for, what, a couple of years? And they broke down below it there. But yeah, I do feel, you know, the model sometimes is a little bit questionable because it's very hard to grow podcasts organically, you know? And you almost have to, it's almost like trying to, like, I liken it to football teams, essentially. It's almost, you know, getting a team that's in a, well, not the Premier League, but lower than that somewhere, and try and get them up the ranks without spending money. You know, it's very hard to do. You know, you have to buy in players. And with that comes a big wage bill. So, you know, a podcaster with their own audience. And then, you know, because of that, the costs go up, don't they? And so, yeah, it's you know, it's very expensive. Where are we at now, the chart? Look at that. Oh, saying that, look at that. That's maybe promising. So back into that sort of range, dip down below that, it's back in that range. So maybe if it can break above these previous highs here, 225, maybe it's headed back up, but it's still early days. It's already boom there, Q3 results. Boohoo, yeah, that's Mike Ashley buying again. Mosman Oil Gas, a big rise today. They've got a farming agreement of EP145 project in Northern Territory, Australia. MSMN, what's the chart like? MSMN. Again, massive downtrend there. But even this, what is it, up 26% a day, it's still not in previous highs there. You know, you want to get above these previous highs and still way off 200 moving average there. So there we are. Okay, let's look at a couple more comments here. There we go. Yeah, lesson learned. Okay, Michael Boohoo, yeah, 8% down. GFIN, yeah, empty power. Learn not to follow the market blindly. Research in depth. This is laconic. But then trust the quality will show through eventually. But there's also metrics, you know. I mean, if you're looking at small companies, they've got to have some growth there. If they're, you know, earning money, they've got to have growth. And also, if you can get good value on the side and then look at the chart, make sure that momentum's in the right direction. Yeah, and then obviously cash is very important for loss-making stocks. But growth and value. People say, it's either growth or value. It's not. You can. That's a ridiculous concept in my mind. You know, you can buy a company that's growing, that's at a good value. And if you don't, I mean, it's really overvalued. If they miss their estimates, then you'll take a massive knock. So it's just more risk. So always try and get a good company at this good value. RSM Tenon, an accounting firm, I chased it down to the bottom, adding more cash as I went. Finally realized I was being an idiot and bailed out. Yeah. When did that realization happen? At what time did it? Be careful averaging down. Like I said, I've done it brief before. When I've ever averaged down, I've always, had a maximum allocation that I'm going to put into any stock. Let's say, for example, 10, maximum 20%, But if you start off averaging in, when I say 10%, I mean of your total portfolio value, if you start off in small amounts, you're going to go wrong small, So, I tend to look at between 1% and 3%, and then I try and wait for a bit. Because if you're wrong, your loss is long. If you're wrong, your loss is only small. If you go big and average down, then it's a bit worrying, because of course then your portfolio is leveraged towards that. And so if you average up, you can be leveraged towards winners rather than losers, But yeah, in a bear market, I say, don't average down. It's because it could be selling off for a long time. There could be people underwater in that stock, offloading as you're buying their shares, and they may have more stock than you have, or money than you have. Lost a lot of potential profit in British biotech. Didn't want to sell because of capital gains tax. In the end, it didn't matter. Yeah. The capital gains, that's the thing, isn't it? Michael, MBO. At one stage, I was 60K up, held on. Now I'm 20K down, 27K down. Harsh lesson. MBO. Yeah. Always a good joke. I've never really understood that company. It's high risk, and I don't. And also, I said, when you question jurisdictions, Mobility One, that is the one that's based in the Far East, isn't it? I think, yeah. The turnover is massive, but they're making a loss, aren't they? I was tempted before to look at those. So this is a chart, by the way, of MBO. I assume you got in around here when it went crazy. Eh? No, it's on there. Yeah. Careful. It is harsh when you do that. And big knock. So always try to always have in your mind, a total percentage of a portfolio you want to put into a stock, because you've got too much and it's going to hurt, Can we look at the ticket CMET over 1,000%? Yeah. CMET, Frido. Okay. CMET. We've looked at those recently. I'm sure they were Capital Metals. So, yeah, I'm not sharing the screen. Yeah, Capital Metals. It was one of those, one of those biggest rises of the day, wasn't it? But, yes, yeah, look at that. Let me just move this out of the way a second. Sorry, it's a little banner in the way. What's that? AI companion on my thing. 156%. Yeah, so it's 156. What do they do, CMET? I forget what they do now. Let's look. CMET. CMET. Eastern Minerals Projects, looking at Eastern Province, Sri Lanka. Yeah. Yes. Because, again, you got to question jurisdiction, sometimes, because I said it can get it risky in certain parts of the world, but be careful. And as I said before, recently, what is the least most risky stock? Because there's known risks you can just remove and, from companies and then try and find a company that's got growth potential with less risk. Okay, let's look at some more news. I said ITM Power. Let's look at the chart of ITM. How does that perform? Of course, one of the first green hydrogen stocks, I think at one point, was it worth like 3 or 4 billion? And in fact, the executive chair now has moved on. Graham Cooley, but he's involved in several other companies. Again, look at that. It's struggled. I did buy a few of those. Was at a rally. But again, this is a hope high potential stock, So at the moment, it's been hammered. But they are moving into the US, basically, where they're tendering for projects out that using the same technology stack that they use over here. So Sea Machines, the results is down 4%. Revenue increased by 48% to 57.8 million. I want to look straight away. EBITDA loss of 9.3, strong balance sheet of 36 million. Let's just scroll down and see where there's the balance sheet. So we've got your cash of 36. It's down from 40. Where's the financial? Oh, this is it. So operating loss of 13 million. Okay, so they are still losing a bit of money, but they've got plenty of cash there. Whereas all the seeing machines does all this technology to help, sort of almost like part of it between the human and the machine. It's an interface to stop people dropping off at the wheels of cars. Again, it's come down for a trendier. Look at that there, that level there. Let me just move this out of the way. You see there, the first high was at 13 pence. Then previous high since that didn't quite break that. And then all of a sudden, 200 moving average cuts it, crosses it down, and then a downtrend. And it's starting to sort of, in fact, it needs to get above that now, doesn't it? It needs to sort of break that sort of 6.2 level, really, on the chart, to get back up there. Front page here. Fishery Minerals new salt sampling results. Oh, I don't know if I want to get into that. I don't want to go sampling soil. Sirocco Energy is one of the biggest risers today. In fact, it's a very odd faller. It's not odd. I'll show you in a bit now. But what are they doing? Completion of Rovuma divestment. They sold off 25% of the non-operating interest in Rovuma, and they get a bit of cash for that. What is it, about 2.54 million? And they pay a bit more than that, but still have an interest in the business there. Anything else rising? Helium One, yeah, Aberdeen. This is one of the fallers, right? Oh, it's apart from Wildcat Petroleum. Oh, in fact, they've raised some money. If you've got to think of raising, this is the way it is, 450 grand for a listed company. That's how hard it is to raise money in this market at 12 pence. And even that massive discount, 450 grand. You've got a question sometimes, how long is that going to last? What else was there? There was a faller here that was, Mother Kids Dead. Song, right? Hypnosis Song Fund. Essentially, they buy the rights to artists, well-selling artists, and then the royalty stream can be used to obviously pay the dividends and stuff. But today, they've announced this, that I don't know how to say that, it's ridiculous. Song is ticker, anyway. So the board of this was notified on 13th of October that Citrin Cooperman, the company's independent portfolio valuer, has materially reduced its expectations of the industry-wide retroactive payments in relation to the US Copyright Royalty Board's decision. So basically, less money on the royalties they earn. And so therefore, they intend to reduce the accrual to 9.9 million from 21 million as of the 31st of March. That's a big reduction. They've also stopped dividend. They decided to withdraw dividend payment. If you scroll in, it explains exactly what it's all about. And this is what I spotted right at the bottom there. I mean, this guy here has got a very good track record. He was former manager of globally successful recording artists, such as Elton John, Guns N' Roses, Morrissey, Iron Maiden, Beyonce, and hit songwriter Dan Warren, Justin. Anyway, and also down here says, members of the Hypnosis Song Management Limited include Nile Rodgers, The Dream, Giorgio Tunfoot, Stara David, Pooh Bear. I'm not that up with new artists, but Pooh Bear? Fancy having Pooh Bear on your board of advisory board. Pooh Bear. I don't know why I spotted that. It made me laugh. But let's look at the song chart. Is it Sing and Song, a Merry Dance? Oh, no, look at that. Be already to see. Is there any charts in an uptrend of late? Doesn't seem there are. All charts in a downtrend. But that is, contrarily, sort of quite bullish, I think. Because, we're at lows. Where else can it go? We've been down here for a while. Who is wearing cashmere this week? Exactly. Microsoft finally got Activision Blizzard. Did Warren Buffett hold or did he sell before the unsure? I don't know. Any thoughts on Seam Shields for the results? Well, the growth is good. Top line growth is good. Like I said, just look at the chart there. They are still losing money, of course, but they seem to have enough cash there. And the chart looks a bit flat at the moment. Yes. Greg, I've heard of research that showed, on average, fund managers create value when they buy, but lose the same amount from when they sell. Okay. Yeah, got to be lucky to find the right share, but only half the battle. The other half is knowing when to sell. Yeah. Sorry, I'm missing a couple of things here. Be careful, Paddy says, on governments, companies whose revenue is entirely reliant on government regulations, like the price of carbon in the European Emissions Trading Scheme. Looks what happened to the UK price of carbon. Okay. Citra to the moon. LOL. Yeah. Citra. It's wondrous. Had lots of tiny 100% losses, but not lately. Biggest absolute loss, a franchise group. Learned US stocks all to have private for peanuts risk. Be wary of XPE management. Okay. Any thoughts on Gore Street Energy? Failing SP, but Divi seems safe. I'll have a look at that. Anything else here? I'm running over here. God, without John, I thought I'd be a bit short at the time, but I'd be on time, but I'm not. Where's liquidity coming from with Frasers Group? I wonder how shareholders feel. I suppose they hope to block a buyout so they can own them if the bid occurs. There's decent liquidity in Boohoo and Assos, isn't there? Because they are like sort of mid-caps. You know, they're not micro-caps. Anything else? Just from a search, Berkshire sold off more than two-thirds of its shares in Activision Blizzard in August, about 3 billion in shares. Okay. First mistake I made was shorting Debenhams way back. I made money in it and then lost it when I was over-leveraged. Even if you're right about a company, the share price can swing and trigger a loss. Anything else? There's no such thing as a bad company, only bad management. I don't know. There are some bad companies, aren't there? I've seen some bad companies on AIM. They come to the market with a business model. We're thinking, what's that for? Who cares about that? In fact, there was one a while back. I can't think of the company, but they're doing freezing cells, stem cells, and all that stuff. I don't know. Or they're setting up a stem cell. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. But I thought, what's the demand there? And it was for retail people. It wasn't for institutions or people like that. Anything else? Thanks, Gary. What's happening with Marks Electrical? Good update last week, but down. Yeah, you're right there. It did do a big update, but it's almost like saying, people are taking profit here. Marks Electrical. Let's look at the chart. Yeah. It seems to me, look at that. I mean, there's a good chart up there. Bit of a resistance there. Come out with this. Well, what was wrong with the update? I don't think there's anything wrong, but since then, it's a tree, fallen by 21% last of 8 calendar days. So I don't know, but that's Marks. It seemed okay, didn't it? All the group trading update. There's record second half. Trading period with revenue growth of 24%, 24.8, so 25%. I don't know. Was an outlook there? There was no outlook. We remain focused on our full year targets. Expect margin pressure to ease in H2 as we benefit from improved operating leverage during the peak trading period. We're excited. We exited September with order growth over 20%, made a strong start to October. Are laser focused on maintaining our performance. Discipline around profit and cash in order to grow sustainably. I don't know, unless I didn't see anything negative in there, but unless it's just a seller exiting, in which case, once the seller stops, it should rebound, quite strongly. Okay, and just quickly on to some business news to finish off with. Inflation expect to fall, like we said there, we got that on Wednesday. Apparently, EY Club, so the Bank of England now, the UK's going to avoid recession, apparently. They say that, so that's good news. And again, another boring cup. Asking prices of UK homes show smallest October rise since 2008. But they're still rising, aren't they? What's the worry? It's not like there's a massive crash going on. And, we have gone from house prices being super inflated during COVID and a really frothy bubble happening to just now the froth coming off the top, I think. It's not a big crash, not a big deal, is it? It's not. They keep trying to scare. That's the trouble with these. It's almost like clickbait, isn't it? Trying to scare the public into clicking their link. The house prices still rose, and yet they're saying it's a very negative one. It's the smallest rise since 2008. So what? I wouldn't mind a small rise in every one of my stocks by, on a monthly basis, which is smaller than in last year, but still a rise. Anyway, thank you very much. If you like the content of this, hopefully John's back on Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know, he hasn't told me. But, you know, by all means, like, share and comment. I will pick up the comments. If you comment afterwards, or if you're listening to this, you know, or watch this later, if you put the comments down there, I will pick up on them tomorrow, okay? But don't forget, hit that subscribe button if you haven't, please. Like and share this, if you could. And don't forget also, download the Vox Markets app to get your RNSs via notification. It's free to download. And of course, once you start using it, you'll be lost without it. It's literally, you follow a company. Whenever a company releases anything, you get sent that RNS by notification. So it comes to you rather than you having to chase it down by the news on companies. Thanks very much. Speak tomorrow.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.